We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I think it took a little time, but Coach Nagy is a brilliant coach, and you got to be adaptable in this league and find what works for your offense, personnel wise, what is working this year, and just find ways of how our offense can get better. So he's done a great job, just trial and error, trying things out, and finding what works for his offense, especially with the injuries and guys moving around, and with the new pieces that's coming in. So we just got to keep working on that and continue to get better every week.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. Interesting to hear Mitch talk about Matt Nagy, because, of course, Matt Nagy had said it was Mitch's day.
Yeah.
And Mitch maybe turned that around on Matt Nagy a little bit. Maybe our question shouldn't be how big a step did Mitch Trubisky take. How big a step did Matt Nagy take?
Maybe, I guess, but there's more suspense around the quarterback, because I think no matter what happens, I think in the final four games, you're going to have Matt Nagy being your head coach next year for the Bears. No matter what happens in the next four games, I don't think you can say the same thing about Mitch Trubisky at quarterback.
But that is a really interesting comment by him, that Nagy is, like, he's basically saying we have a different team than we did last year, and he maybe has sat up and taken notice of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think how do you ignore it? You know, how do you not notice it? They're in a situation now where, you know, no matter how well they finish, they have lost the right to control their own destiny. So they could turn things around in relative terms. You could be looking at a resurgent second half of the season or a resurgent final month and still head into an offseason full of regret based on what you weren't able to accomplish in the first half.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are likely to do that, right? 2% chance to actually make the playoffs. And, you know, it's interesting because we're saying that the kind of litmus test for them will be Thursday night here in Chicago against a Dallas team that can't beat anybody with a winning record. Well, guess what? The Bears are 6-6, and so is Dallas. So you're talking about two teams that are at the same point, even though it feels like maybe the Cowboys had a better year to this point.
Two disappointing teams, though.
Their division.
Yeah, I think they probably are leading their division, and that's a bad division. And look, in you know, the NFL schedule, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. So this game that has looked daunting all season long looks a little less daunting after you saw what the Cowboys had to offer on Thanksgiving Day against the Bills. That was a really bad performance by them. They're in a state of turmoil with their coaching situation. Jason Garrett getting sort of a vote of no confidence from Jerry Jones. How does that affect Thursday night? I don't know if it will. I don't know if it won't. But the Cowboys are coming in more vulnerable than you expected them to be, even though they might be in first place. You talk about everything being relative and Mitch being a bottom feeder and you know, playing the Giants and playing the Lions. The Cowboys feel good about their 6-6 only because they play in the NFL's worst division.
Right. No question about that. There are some terrible teams, and the idea that the Eagles just joined that group at 5-7, that's pretty shocking.
Yeah, it is. And yesterday, that was a really ugly loss for the Eagles. And so here in the context of the Bears were practicing yesterday, and that yesterday was their Sunday was their Wednesday. So today, Monday, is their Thursday, right? That's the way it works in the NFL, on the NFL calendar. And we heard from Mitch Trubisky, and we heard from Matt Nagy, and they've got to feel like they don't, regardless of the opponent the last 2 weeks, they were in a situation where they just needed something good to happen.
Yep.
For their quarterback, for their locker room, for their football team. And leave it to everyone else to either overstate its significance or to not be impressed. And somewhere is in the middle, probably where the truth lies. They did They did what they needed to do on Thursday in a game they could not afford to lose to a third-string quarterback, a Lions team that finds a way to lose games playing their third-string quarterback, who in the first half looked like, boy, this was going to be quite the Thanksgiving Day story in Detroit. David Blau tore the Bears apart, especially in the first couple series. And they bounced back. So there was a bounce-back day for them.
Yeah, I guess we could call it a bounce-back day, but it was a terrible first half yet again, and they played significantly better, and they came back. And once they kind of drew level, you felt like this was going to be the Bears' day, and they ended up winning at the end of the game. And you know, one of the feelings you had was it should not have been that difficult, and it's kind of like the same feeling you had with the Giants. Like, it really shouldn't have been that difficult. And then the Giants go into Green Bay, and guess what? It wasn't that difficult. So, I mean, I'm delighted they got back to 500, and I'm happy they beat the teams that they had to beat. But there have been a lot of letdowns this season, and you go in on Thursday night. This is another game that you unequivocally should and have to win, right? And how confident are you in the Bears being able to do that? I think you feel more confident than maybe you did a few weeks ago, but it's just they have made this such a slog. They have made this so difficult for themselves that it's going to take something kind of unusual and wonderful to happen. And maybe it's the return of Akeem Hicks. Maybe that has bolstered them enough to defend home field, and then they can shock the world and start putting some wins together. But you know, you watch Kansas City play, and you watch what goes on with up in Green Bay. It doesn't feel like it's a real happy time of year, even though you know I understand.
And that's after a 2-game win streak.
But I mean, we're sitting here. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, we're sitting here. We're saying that the Cowboys are coming in and they are falling apart, and they're firing the coach, and everything's a wreck. And the Bears are feeling good because they got the 2-game winning streak. Those teams have the same record.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's like one team's a mess, but even you're propped up only by the worst division in football, and the other team is the Bears, and they're not in the easiest division in football.
Neither team is looking like you're going to finish the season the way they thought they might at the beginning of it. Both these teams went into this year thinking they could be playing in the NFC Championship game, and at this point, neither one of them has looked very deserving of that. But it's the NFL, and things change quickly over the course of three-game segments.
And
in this three-game segment, the Bears have an opportunity to win their third in a row. Regardless of the opponent, that means something to them. Now, are you going to go out and start believing they can win the division? They need a lot of help. Oh. And the Vikings tonight could, you know, help make you a few more believers if you are clinging to that 2% chance. Against the Seahawks, the Vikings are 8-3. The Bears are 6-6. You can do the math. The Packers are 9-3. When you look at the schedule, the Packers still have remaining opponents, the Redskins, the Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions. The Vikings have to play the Lions, the Chargers, the Packers, and the Bears. So there's a couple victories probably built into each of those teams' remaining schedule.
And the Bears have the hardest run-in of all. Because it's just going to be a lot more difficult to pull this off which is why they got a 2% chance of making it.
It's conceivable they could finish 10-6 and still be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
You know, it can be conceivable they could win 3 of the next 4 in the month of December to finish the season pretty strong based on where it was at one point and still be on the outside looking in. That's probably the way you're going to head into this offseason beginning. You know, whenever.
But my point is,
sense of regret.
There's a false positive involved, right? If you're going to head into the offseason walking tall because you beat the Giants and the Lions, and now you're, see what I'm saying?
Like, I don't think anybody's walking tall. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think anybody's walking tall after beating the Lions. I just think that acknowledging
it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
I'm
with
you.
If you're coming in here after losing to the Lions, then you're talking about, boy, you know, who's getting fired, you know?
Today was Mitch's day.
312-644-6767. Mike is in Rochelle. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I got a question for you. You know, I think Nagy, is it the fact that he's got just that kind of, I don't know, not arrogance, but that kind of confidence in himself, the fact that he just will not give up the play calling? Now, in my opinion, you know, like the old saying is players play, managers manage, whatever, coaches coach. I just think that he's just taking too big of a bite. Let him, some of his play calling in certain situations has been kind of sketchy this year. Why would you not, if you don't have confidence in your offensive coordinator to take over the play calling, you know, you got Jay Gruden sitting at home on the couch, man. That dude, I know he got fired, but he can call plays. Why can't we get him in and just let Matt at next season, because it ain't going to happen this year. I think Andy Dalton's going to be our quarterback, or he's going to come in and he's going to fight with Mitch for the starting job. And I think Mitch is going to be a number two selection overall and be the best backup quarterback in the league. But I think Andy Dalton's going to be our quarterback next year, which I don't want him, but I think that's might how it's going to go, because I know that Ryan Pace is not going to give up that fact that, you know, hey, this is my boy, I traded up for him, because that's a bad reflection on him. And also, next year, Nagy is not going to get fired, no way. So just give up the play calling, man. Be the head coach and have some confidence in your play caller. And you can always chime in when you want and say, no, you know, scratch that play, run it, or whatever. But I just think that he needs to give up the play calling, and I really think we could get somebody in there that could make some really good, sound game scenarios, you know, and get the game plan going every week. That's how I feel.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. We appreciate it. We got to talk about that, because I think that might have been – that could possibly be one of these things that's a little more complicated than you make it, Mike. Let's discuss that
next. Jay Gruden's not coming off his couch.
312-644-6767, Mully and Hall on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll see. We got to come out hungry and humble again this week and just go to work. And if everyone does our jobs and we're good on third down and take care of the front, we just got to go out there and make plays. But it's not just going to happen. We got to have a great week. We got to go make it happen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's Mitch. That is Mitch Trubisky talking. And, you know, it's very interesting, I think, David, when we start sitting here and talking about Mitch's future and, of course, Matt Nagy's future and Ryan Pace's future. And, you know, I think it is a better than even shot that all those guys are going to be back in the exact roles that they have, that the Bears are going to look at this season and they're going to chalk it up to – a certain amount of kind of, I don't know if you'd say growing pains or if you'd say injuries, or they'll be, I don't know that they're going to address all these issues. And so when people call up and they recommend this quarterback or that quarterback, you know, if you're going out and you're bringing in Andy Dalton, you're probably telling him that he's going to play, and that's why he's going to sign here.
Yeah, that's what I've said all along, is that if you quote unquote create competition at the position, you're really creating a hierarchy. You're creating a depth chart. Free agency does that. You pay people to come in here to, you know, play them or to win jobs. This isn't a, you know, even going back, and this may be a bad example, when you paid Mike Glennon the money that you paid him in free agency to be the kind of the mentor to wherever your rookie quarterback was going to be in that time, at that time, you paid him a certain amount of money that said he was the starter.
This year is my year.
Yeah, well, not so much, Mike. So whether it's Andy Dalton, whether it's Marcus Mariota, whether it's Cam Newton, whether it's all the names that we will consider and have talked about already, in the offseason, if the Bears sign a quarterback who is a veteran free agent, he is going to come in here with the understanding that it is his job to lose. Now, over the next 4 weeks, some of that could change. Some of that, Mitch Trubisky, in his mind, and maybe in some minds of people at Hallis Hall, the decision makers, some of that process has begun to change because he has played marginally better, incrementally better. Not going to give him any sort of awards for beating the Giants and the Lions. I'm not trying to.
Right.
But when you're evaluating this objectively, and as much as they can be objective about this, if they see growth in the final four games, they're going to use that to their advantage because it's in their best interest for him to succeed. It's in everyone's best interest for him to be the quarterback you thought he could be going into the season. So they're going to give him every chance to fail. Now, not to put it that way.
I think that's a fair way of putting it. But I also believe that if Matt Nagy were ever to turn over play-calling duties, he would do it to somebody that he trusted who was with him, who could run what he wants people to run. Matt Nagy believes that his ability as a play caller is what got him the job. Yeah. And he believes in his own ability to do it.
Yeah, let's be clear about what's going on here, okay? So when you don't have a defensive head coach, you don't have a defensive-minded guy who will go through offensive coordinators and will try different schemes because to see what works, to see what sticks against the wall when you throw enough things at it. Frankly, that was Lovie Smith. That was Lovie Smith because he went from one idea to the other and one philosophy to the next, one style to something else that didn't work. And I think that was a lot of trial and error, mostly error. And I think when you look at what Matt Nagy is that he is an offensive-minded coach from a certain philosophical tree, whether you want to call it a school of thought, however you want to term it. He's not bringing in Jay Gruden, okay? He's not bringing in somebody who he's never worked with before. If he goes into the offseason, it might be to retool, rethink, and to maybe kind of reshape his staff next year so he's not calling the plays. But he's not going to do that haphazardly.
No, exactly. And, you know, as we've said 1,000 times, the way that these guys, the way they operate, they're play callers. So, you know, they're within a certain style, but you hear him talk. He wants to call a play that can score a touchdown all the time. He wants to call plays that score. He's not going to go bring in a guy that runs a certain scheme and then have the guy come in. You don't hire Jay Gruden to come in here and run what Matt Nagy does because that's not what he does. So it's it's just a bad idea all the way around, regardless if a guy's sitting at home. And you feel like if all it takes is money or whatever.
This season all along has been about two things offensively. It's been about a lot of things, but two primary things. The development of your quarterback, and I think the development of your head coach.
Yes.
He's in his second season and frankly didn't win a playoff game and had a lot to learn about handling success and being a head coach of an NFL team. And I think this year we're finding that out. The inexperience has shown. When he passes, for instance, as a head coach passing on a 50-yard field goal attempt indoors, then either your kicker shouldn't be on the roster if you don't trust him to that extent, or you should try that every time if you're a head coach who knows what's going on.
That was awful.
Matt Nagy has some room to grow as well. I thought that Thursday he did show a little bit better balance at times. Now, he was playing the Lions, but you look at the stats, and David Montgomery did get 16 carries.
It was interesting what Mitch said. We played that a couple about Matt Nagy. Mitch on Nagy was very interesting coming out of that Lions game. And I think, David, that we always talk about the inexperience of the quarterback. We don't think about the coordinator. And let's take a listen to what he said. Because this is also Mitch talking more at the podium, by the way.
I think it took a little time, but Coach Nagy is a brilliant coach, and you got to be adaptable in this league and find what works for your offense personalize what is working this year and just find ways of how our offense can get better. So he's done a great job just trial and error, trying things out and finding what works for his offense, especially with the injuries and guys moving around and with the new pieces that's coming in. So we just got to keep working on that and continue to get better every week.
It took a little time, okay? Adaptability. He's not talking about his own game. He's talking about the coach figuring out what that you can't do some of the things he was trying to do.
I think a couple
trial
things.
And error.
He hit rock bottom in L.A. during that little moment on the sidelines when he got pulled with the hit pointer.
Sure.
And I think mentally probably, again, probably reading too much into that, but he has been more candid about what he wants and what he expects and maybe talking to the coach, maybe inadvertently, maybe unintentionally, maybe it's on purpose. I don't know, but you've heard from Mitch Trubisky. And two of the last three times that he has spoken at the podium since that point is honesty. I want to do this. I'm more comfortable doing that. You know, and he's talking about his head coach, and that relationship is the most important one in that locker room.
If Nagy, for whatever reason, gave up play calling, or I don't think it'll happen, but if for some reason, what would he do? Because he talks like the other phases of the game are just completely beyond him. Like, oh, I'm going to leave Taves to deal with special teams. Chuck's going to deal with defense, and I'll handle the offense. If he gives up play calling, what is his role?
He couldn't stare at that sheet as much as he does.
Club, dub, officiator?
Yeah, we'll ask that of Brad Biggs. We're going to have him on next. We're also going to ask him if Adam Shaheen has played his last game for the Bears.
Oh, here's hoping.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. A long-time contributor to the station and a dear friend. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, let's start with your story today in the Chicago Tribune, your column, the headline, Baby Gronk Could Be Finished as a Bear, on IR, injury-prone Shaheen's future at risk. Boy, what a drag the tight end position has been, right? So, I mean, every time we're celebrating an Ivy Leaguer, we're also acknowledging that that there has been the whole Trey Burton thing, his season, his sophomore campaign in Chicago, train wreck, and certainly Adam Shaheen now put on IR, and man, it's just rough because there's really not a career there.
Yeah, just couldn't get going this year. Was the healthy scratch for that first game against the Lions, which was back on November 10th, pops up on the injury report the week after that and never to be seen from again. You know, did not return to the practice field. The Bears apparently were viewing the foot injury as sort of a day-to-day situation for him, and it didn't improve to the point where they felt like he was going to be able to contribute for them again this season. So they make the move over the weekend to place him on IR. And, it's got to be disappointing. The flip side is you see Jesper Horsted make that touchdown grab on Thanksgiving in Detroit where he's using his right hand to pin the football against his shoulder pad as he's being tackled in the end zone, 18-yard touchdown. And you say, when's the last time you saw Adam Shaheen make a play like that down the field?
A while.
And I don't know that Horsted is a long-term answer for the Bears at the position. I don't think anybody knows right now. He's played 11 snaps on offense. But you've certainly seen enough to warrant more action for him, you know, more evaluation. And you definitely are not going to rule him out as a possible solution for them moving forward. One of the things that struck me when I took a look at Shaheen yesterday was his sort of breakout game as a rookie. Remember, he wasn't getting a lot of playing time his rookie season. There was that adjustment coming from D2. I think the playbook and all it involves for a tight end, which is a lot considering responsibilities in both the pass and the run games, was potentially a little overwhelming for him at first. But Zach Miller's injury created a need for them at the position, and he started getting more playing time in the second half of that season and then makes some plays over in Cincinnati in a blowout win over the Bengals, but suffers a chest injury that ends up ending his season, and he had a season-high 44 yards in that game. Well, you take a look at what he's done since. He hasn't had a 25-yard game since then, so that's something that's puzzling, because I know the Bears were really, really high on him coming into the season and felt like he was going to be a bit of a breakout candidate for him and be this comfortable, easy target for Mitch Trubisky to throw to. And either that's a misevaluation by them, or whatever Shaheen did to warrant this steam from the team during the offseason, he was simply unable to transfer to the field during games.
So, Brad, let's look at Mitch. He has a big day against the Lions, ends up with 338 yards. I don't think he was the best quarterback on the field in the first half, and yet he did have the big comeback, and he did have numbers that when you look at his totals against the Lions and the Redskins, he's got a 9-2 touchdown interception ratio, 122 passer rating. Against everybody else, it's not acceptable. 71 and 4 touchdowns and 5 picks. Put into context the step that he made on Thursday, if he made one.
Yeah, I think he made a step. He played well, particularly this. He was on fire in the second half. He was very good on first down throughout the game, and then he makes the drive with a bunch of plays on that 90-yard drive when the game's on the line at the end of the fourth quarter. So that's got to be a positive step moving forward for him. And Matt Nagy had said the two previous weeks that he had seen growth and specific improvement in Mitch when it was not necessarily easy to see. You know, when the numbers against the Giants anyway, a poor defense, really weren't there. Well, you don't need to ask the coach exactly how the guy's getting better, because it's not super evident when you watch it the first time yourself. Against Detroit this time, Mitch played really well. He extended some plays with his legs, was able to make some throws. So that's a positive. Now he's got to do it in a four-game stretch when the Bears are going to be playing some pretty talented opponents, when I think in all honest evaluators would say the other team's going to have the better quarterback coming into the game. And so it's a challenge for Mitch to see where he's at with the Bears right now, 6-6, and trying to, alter the course of this season, which looked like it was headed nowhere. And now they've got a chance. It's not a great chance, but they've got an opportunity. And it starts with the Cowboys on Thursday.
And I'm not pouring cold water on Mitch, because I thought that last drive was really something. But that's a team in 12 games, they're 3-8-1, and yet they've led in every game. And if you really break down what happened in that game, that is a typical Lions game. That's the Lions season. They've lost 8 of their last 9, and every loss looks exactly the same. And they're embittering end-of-the-game kind of losses. And they had another one. And I know we're only focused on Chicago and the Bears and Mitch and Matt Nagy, but that is pretty much what the Lions have done all year long.
Yeah, that's why Matt Patricia may find himself in a difficult spot here in another 4 weeks. I mean, that Lions team is bad. And I think the Lions coaches deserve credit for the way that David Blough, the undrafted rookie free agent quarterback, played. He's a guy that wasn't even on their roster when preseason ended. They acquired him after the end of preseason, and he went out and played really well. So credit to Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, for him certainly being poised in his debut against a pretty good Bears defense. But Matt Patricia is a defensive coach, and the Lions remain an absolute wreck on defense. That's not to take credit away from what Mitch did, but I think it's to put it in perspective a little bit, the level of competition.
You know, Brad, since Matt Nagy, I think, publicly called out Anthony Miller for running the wrong route, I think leading to an interception, 16 yards rather than 14, he's been pretty good. And on Thursday, he was really dominant. He had made the couple big catches. He was targeted one more time than Allen Robinson. What has changed to make him emerge in this offense?
Well, I asked him a little bit about that, and he said, you know, it's mostly been the same routes he's running, and that against different defenses, his number gets called a little bit more often. And I think the one thing that jumped out to me in that Lions game is he's going against a pretty good nickel cornerback in Justin Coleman. And in a one-on-one situation there, Anthony Miller can win and win consistently. And the Lions were paying extra attention to Allen Robinson. I think on both those deep throws to Miller, deep throws on third and short, the Detroit defense was doubling Allen Robinson. So that's when the Bears have to have someone else step up to be able to make a play for him. And they really haven't had anyone do that with any level of consistency this season. And to see Miller perform that twice on the same drive, I think that shows you the explosive ability that he has. That it makes all sense that Ryan Pace traded up to get him when you see Miller go out and do that. Now he needs to do it more consistently, but as a slot receiver, you know, he's not the biggest guy and he's not the fastest guy, but he's strong. He's got some quickness and he's got some real savvy to himself at that position. And he told me last week before the game that the production hadn't been anywhere near what he would have preferred in the first half of the season, but he wasn't going to dwell on that. He was just going to try to close the season really strong with some good games, put up some numbers if the opportunities were there for him, and sort of end this second season for himself on a positive note. Took a huge step in that direction against Detroit.
What does the return of Akeem Hicks mean to this defense, and what does it mean to this team? Did you get a little sense of optimism out of that?
It sounds like they're optimistic that he'll be able to play beginning next week against Green Bay. He's not eligible to return this week to face Dallas. So he's got practice this week and then practice again next week before they'd have to make a decision on clearing a roster spot for him to return. But that's going to add a big piece to the defensive line, should help them really in all phases against the run and the pass, and sort of tighten up the rotation that they've had in there. Hopefully there are meaningful football games for him to participate in the final month of the season.
And if they're not, he plays anyway, right, Brad? I mean, he's coming back one way or another.
That's the
I mean, if they lose on Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, my translation was that he's coming back. If he's physically cleared to come to return, he will play, you know, whether it's a meaningful game for the Bears or not. Yes. So I think this all hinges on his health, not where the Bears are in the standings.
All right, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. Interesting. All the way around, it's interesting stuff. We're going to take a quick moment. We'll be back with Tom Thayer. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.